Thanks for listening to the Best of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
Ah, this is the Herd. Wherever you may be and however you may be listening, live in Los Angeles. iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, and FS1. Joy Taylor is joining me on a Monday, 1 hour from now, where Colin was right, where Colin was wrong. James Harrison on the show today. What a wild weekend. Starting on Friday, you have Dodgers, you got NFL, you got college. Harbaugh dominates the Big Ten. So going forward, you ready to go?
Let's do it.
Let's do it. Let's start with this. Well, Philadelphia, are you having fun yet? Because you're celebrating in dog masks and got a book. And you do realize in the NFL, it's an 11.5-month grind. After you win the Super Bowl, go to the Bahamas and then get back in your office and put in 15-hour days. That's the NFL. If you want time off, coach college football. Coach college football. Because in college football, if you win recruiting day, you win 80% of your games unless you're a boob. I mean, unless you're an incompetent hack. If you win recruiting day in college football, you win 80% of your games. But it doesn't work that way in the NFL. The New England Patriots are amazing. A dynasty and nobody cares. Yesterday they won by a yard. The week before they won by a play. Nobody cares how good you are. Nobody cares about your dog masks. Nobody cares about your books. Nobody cares about your parades. You partied too much, got politically engaged, told us how smart you were and how progressive and how thoughtful, and now you can't beat Carolina at home with a 17-0 lead heading into the fourth quarter. Philadelphia, you forget last year. Even last year, you were winning by one possession. 6 of the Eagles' 7 games this year, one possession. 9 of their last 11 games dating back to the last year, one possession. And in fact, one of those games that doesn't count as a one possession game, Oakland, go back and look at the highlights late. It really was. If you want time off, coach college. But in the NFL, nobody cares about your dynasty. Nobody cares about your rings. Nobody cares about your parades. You went from hunters to the hunted. You thought because you won a Super Bowl and Carson Wentz didn't play and Jordan Hicks didn't play and Jason Peters didn't play, you thought, oh, we're getting all those guys back. Oh, woo-hoo, woo-hoo. Honey, schedule a couple of vacations. We don't need to go into the office. And guess what? Guess what? I still like you. Still like your GM, like your coach. I still think you're aggressive as heck, and I still think you'll probably at the end of the year win the division. But you're not winning the Super Bowl this year. Because it doesn't look like to me you put in the time, the details. You're not as good at it. You're just not. Now, you've had some injuries. So what? Gronk didn't play yesterday for New England. No excuses. Well, we've had injuries at running back. New England didn't have Sony Michel yesterday late. No excuses. They're better at details than you are. Now, you're still aggressive. Last few years, since 2016, you lead the NFL in fourth down attempts and fourth down makes and two-point conversions, and there's a lot I like about Philadelphia. I like the owner. I like the GM. I like the coach. I like the quarterback. The fan base I can do without. But did you see yesterday after the game, Carolina's mocking you. They're laughing at you. They did the dog mask on social media. If you don't want to grind for 11.5 months and you want to have fun, go have fun. Play college football. But you're not going to be a dynasty. Dynasties are hard. Every day grinding. Everybody made fun of Bill Belichick. Everybody makes fun of Bill Belichick. Remember a couple years ago they won and he came out and it was at the victory parade. And it was like, you know what Bill Belichick did? First of all, he said this. Remember this.
No days off.
And everybody gave him crap. Do you know where Belichick went from that parade? He went back to the office to look at film. So what's happened to Philadelphia is what we predicted. They'd still be good, and they still have good personnel, and I still like them. But this idea the NFL's fun, it's called work. This is not – Saturday is for separation. Saturday is to watch Oklahoma blow somebody out and Alabama blow somebody out and Clemson blow somebody out because they won the recruiting in February. And 9 of the 11 games they play, they just have better players. But the difference between Tennessee, a bad team, and the Chargers, a great team in London, was a coaching decision, was an inch. The difference between Carolina and Philadelphia, a Super Bowl team from a perennial roller coaster ride, is a foot. And you win because you put in the time. Doug Peterson, a guy I like, is already playing the underdog card.
These are games that galvanize football teams, and this is going to do that. This is going to bring us even closer together. Basically told them that, hey, pressure's off of us. Nobody on the outside world is giving us a chance to do much of anything, and pressure's off. So we can go play, have fun, and just relax, and a lot of football ahead, too.
That's just a bunch of hooey. That's just a bunch of hooey. That's a slogan. That's a motto. You're trying to sell guys in the locker room. Nobody cares about us. No, Philadelphia. They're going to care about beating you the entire year because you're Super Bowl champs. And a couple of years ago, Atlanta was the talk of the NFL and they got to the Super Bowl. And now Atlanta is no good. And they're going to lose tonight in Monday Night Football probably. Work. Don't want to do it? Go coach college. Don't be a GM in the NFL. Go be an athletic director in the SEC. The NFL is a grind. Celebrate briefly, grind daily. And I think a lot of people aren't built for it. Bill Walsh was built for it. Chuck Knoll was built for it. Belichick is built for it. Jimmy Johnson was built for it. But it's hard. Got any more books to sell? Let me shift gears to the Dallas Cowboys. You know, it's funny. Teams, and this is, it's not strange, but it happens. Teams tend to take the personality often of their cities or their owner. Every great Laker team has had some flash. Showtime Lakers, Magic, Kobe, Kareem. It's a city of stars. Every great Laker team, even go back to Wilt and Jerry West and Gail Goodrich. There's never been like a bad boys Lakers. You know what I mean? Detroit's a tough city. Detroit, they build cars. Detroit teams are tough. Every Detroit team that wins is tough. Okay. How about the New England and Boston, 51 universities within the metro area of Boston? The Patriots, cerebral. The Celtics, cerebral. The Red Sox, evolvers, adapters, innovators in baseball. Golden State Warriors, Silicon Valley, progressive. You tend to mirror your cities and you often mirror your owners, right? And Dallas is an aggressive town. I mean, Jerry Jones buys the team, fires the only coach they've ever had, goes and gets a college guy, aggressive. Dallas is aggressive. The state of Texas. We do big things in Texas. They're not worried about saving the red owl. Okay, in Texas, they do big things. They don't have regulations. Dallas is an aggressive town. Oil money, wheeling and deal. That's the city. And Jerry's the most aggressive owner in the NFL. But this football team, Jason Garrett, has got to be the most passive football team I've ever seen. Dallas actually has a city slogan that says big things happen here. I think they should change their slogan to we play for ties here. Dallas, what was that? You got the most aggressive owner in a hyper-aggressive city, and you have become a passive football team. I mean, whatever the opposite of gunslinger is, how about traffic cop? Whatever. Brett Favre is a gunslinger. Jason Garrett's a traffic stop. Watch your way. Walk slowly. Look both ways. Don't get in trouble. What's going on here? You had over a minute left. Alex Smith did you a favor. Stepped out of bounds. Saved you a timeout. Over a minute. Have Dak. Got good field position. You were playing for a tie. 12 seconds left. You never made a shot at the end zone. Jerry Jones is the most aggressive owner in the NFL. Dallas is as aggressive anti-regulation as any city in the United States. I don't want to hear about snap infractions. I don't want to hear about the clang as the ball hit the post. I don't care about that stuff. That final drive, you were playing for a tie. 12 seconds to go at the 31, never took a shot at the end zone. And by the way, if you don't trust Dak, and it looks like you don't trust Dak, you got the wrong quarterback. I mean, you keep telling me you like Dak, but you're not showing me that with your actions. When I watch Dallas play, people say a lot, I don't do this, I do this. You know what I look at? Actions. That's what I care about. What do you do, not what you say? Jason Garrett keeps telling me he loves Dak. Jerry Jones, I love Dak. I watch you play late. You don't love Dak. You don't trust Dak. Jason Garrett's a traffic cop. Dak, look left, look right, walk slowly, slow down, go back to the curb. Dak, don't, New England goes for it. Philadelphia, I got my issues, but Carson Wentz, they go for it. Carolina yesterday, we go for it. you can tell me how much you like Dak, but I'm watching your actions. The most aggressive owner in the most aggressive city in the NFL, that is the most passive finesse. I shouldn't say finesse because they do run the football well, but I mean, you're playing for ties here. And by the way, Tony Romo, whenever Tony Romo does Cowboy games, it's not a good look for Dak Prescott because Tony Romo knows the truth. This is the same playbook. This is the same playbook. So when Dallas pulls out a play, he knows where the play should go.
From the pocket, ball tipped and incomplete.
Well, this one, Dak's got to pull the trigger. Watch Beasley on a slant right there. That's a big play, and he's the number one option on that play, and he just hesitated and went back to Swaim.
Yeah. Jason Garrett's not a go-for-it guy. Dak doesn't want to throw the ball down the field. You know, don't mess with Texas. Isn't that what they say? Don't mess with Texas? New motto. If you wouldn't mind, we'd like to play for a tie. Does that offend you? We're going to settle here for this and settle here for that, and I mean, you're watching that game. Look at who have been Cowboy legends. Aggressive Michael Irvin. Aggressive Tony Romo. Aggressive Roger Staubach. Aggressive Jimmy Johnson. Aggressive Barry Switzer. Aggressive Jerry Jones. Aggressive Bill Parcells. I mean, this is a passive, look both ways, no risk, drop it off underneath offense. And you're not beating the Rams, and you're not going to beat the Eagles, and you're not going to beat the Vikings, and you're not going to beat the Saints, and this weekend you're not going to beat Carolina that way. And stop telling me you trust love Dak, because I don't see it. You're saying it, but I don't see it.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
By the way, the Patriots won. You know, and again, last two weekends, Patriots, the best detail-oriented team I've ever seen. They're obsessed on it. Not about fun, about grinding. They won by a yard yesterday. They won by a play the week before. And this is the way it works every year for New England. They win their playoff games by this much. Every Super Bowl the Patriots have been in, all eight, have been won or lost by a field goal. That's just the way all of them work. That's why they're obsessed with details. By the way, everybody's fallen in love. And I watched them yesterday, and Gronk got hurt, and he doesn't play, and Sony Michel doesn't play much, and it's in Chicago, and once again they dropped 38 points, four straight games, 38-38, 43-38. They're first in the NFL in the last four games in wins, in points, in point differential, and first downs, and they're doing it. Gronk wasn't there. Philadelphia, I don't want to hear excuses. Sony Michel got hurt. I don't want to hear about Philadelphia's excuses for running backs. They're rebuilding their offensive line. They've got a new left tackle. They don't have Deion Lewis. They don't have Malcolm Butler. They don't have Danny Amendola. They don't have Nate Solder. And here they go again in October, and they look like the best team in the National Football League. And I know we're celebrating the Rams, and I know we're celebrating the Chiefs, and I understand that they're flashy and fun. Abs and bikinis at the beach and the Frisbees going around with Patrick Mahomes and Jared Goff and the sand and the boogie boards. But John Goulet, you hear the music too, don't you? You know there's something out there in the water. And you're up there on your paddleboard, Chiefs. You're out there on your surfboard, Rams. Beach volleyball, good times. You know who's under that water. It's Tom Brady, and that fin's got a 12 on it. Yeah. I mean, here we go again. We're falling in love with all these teams on the surface and their points and their bomberooskies and... I'm watching New England yesterday. I watched them against Houston. I watch them against Kansas City. And this is just what they do. By the way, they got another loss in them. I'm going to predict now 12-4 or 13-3. They're going to get a bye. Unlike the Chiefs, who have a real team in their division, the Chargers are a real football team. Get ready to play in Foxborough in January, which, by the way, Foxborough in the playoffs, Tom Brady is 19-3. And the only team that's given him struggles, the Baltimore Ravens, not the Kansas City Chiefs. So you can blow me away with all this beach volleyball and the abs and the bikinis and the Bud Light and the beers. But underneath the water, you see that fin out there that's got 12 on it. And you know what they do. You're kicking your feet up there, celebrating, spiking the football. And that shark under the water, it sees you and it's circling. Beware. You're going to need a bigger boat.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
The Laker fight, you heard about the fines. I don't have any interest in arguing whose fault it was, but if you were wondering what kind of Laker team this was going to be, well, this is it. You don't bring Rondo, Michael Beasley, JaVale McGee, and Lance Stephenson, scrappy players, to a team and then say, you know, he's got a big scrap on Saturday night. This is what the Lakers are going to be. LeBron James and Magic Johnson knew when they put this puppy together. Remember, they got Rondo later. They already, when LeBron signed here, they had Kuzma, they had Josh Hart, they had Lonzo Ball, they had Brandon Ingram. They went and got Lance Stephenson. They went and got Beasley. They went and got JaVale McGee. They went and got Rondo. Why? Because this is how they're going to win. This was a one-point game when this happened, and Houston's a lot better than the Lakers are. And it was a one-point game. And this team is tough and annoying and agitating and scrappy, and that's the way they're going to win. Magic and LeBron knew we don't have enough shooters. It's a shooter's league. They knew that. So they went, when LeBron got here, after he got here, they added scrappy guys. And this is what scrappy guys do. This is what scrappy players do. Golden State's going to beat you with finesse and skill. Houston can beat you with some skill. This is basically for them to win this year. Now, it's off-brand because Laker teams are usually skill and fun and smiles. And this team is the bad boys with palm trees. I mean, this is, you're going to have to win like the Pistons with palm trees. And that's off-brand for the Lakers, but that's what this team is. If you're wondering what kind of team they are, this is what kind of team they are. They are becoming exactly what they recruited in free agency and found in trades. This is it. A team, by the way, they're already 29th in the NBA in three-point shooting. Okay? Because, as we predicted, they'd be 29th in the NBA in three-point shooting. So here was the fight. If you did not see it and did not hear it, roll the tape.
Uh-oh, look out. A little extracurricular. It's Ingram and Harden. Uh-oh. No, look out. Rondo and Chris Paul, and they're throwing punches.
Kiki Vandeweghe is about 10 rows up, so he's got a front row seat. There are going to be some suspensions.
You have seen scuffles and fights in the NBA, but this has taken it to another level.
Yeah, this is the kind of what they're going to be. Now, again, Laker fans, all you celebrities, never forget, there's a hockey team that plays at Staples. Some nights the Lakers are going to look like the hockey team. You may get some blood on your nice outfits on the front row at Laker games, but they're going to be a physical team. You don't get Rondo and Lance Stephenson and Michael Beasley without knowing this is what you're going to be. And those young players are all kind of growing and emerging players, but this locker room right now is controlled by Rondo, and it's controlled by LeBron James. And by the way, if you watch the minutes being played, Lance Stephenson's playing a lot. And that tells you Luke Walton is creating a culture. And that culture is, I want Lance out there, I want LeBron out there, I want Rondo out there. And by the way, you know who else is playing a lot? Josh Hart, the toughest young guy they got. They know this is what they're going to be. They're not going to shoot. They're not going to be finesse. Now, I don't think this Laker team will look like this in 3 years, but this is a version of the LA Kings. This is what they're going to do this year.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
I always told you, Baker Mayfield's good enough to play in the NFL. I think he's closer to Case Keenum than Russell Wilson. I would not have picked him number one. I think for a cold weather city like Cleveland, a 5'11 and a half guy who's not that athletic, who's got a little nonsense in his personality, for my opinion, I wouldn't have picked him number one. I would have picked Sam Darnold. Baker Mayfield, I disagree with everybody. I don't think he's playing well. Cleveland's defense gave him the ball four times yesterday. They forced four turnovers. Okay, if you're giving your quarterback four turnovers and you still can't move the ball for three quarters against the worst defense in the NFL, I don't think you're playing well. I know you know, Twitter's tell me Baker Mayfield's lighting it up. It's not what I see. He's 30th in the NFL in completion percentage. He's 29th in passer rating. But Colin, Sam Darnold played half the college games, did not stay in college for five, stayed in college for three. Sam Darnold's got nothing around him. And I mean nothing around him. This team has enough running backs that they traded one this week. Jarvis Landry, better O-line. 2 years older, double the college starts. And by the way, this is the easy part of the Cleveland schedule. Now they go to the Steelers off a bye week. They've also got games at Carolina, at Cincy, at Baltimore, playing Denver, playing Kansas City. This was the easy part. So, and it's going to get colder, and the defenses are going to get nastier, and you keep telling me on Twitter how great he's playing. There's something called a QBR, a quarterback rating. For years and years, you had the passer rating, and people, and I don't pay too much attention to passer rating. It's something, it's not everything, but it's something. And then they created, a bunch of NFL people created QBR, and they count your defense. Like, if your defense is great and giving you advantages and you can't score, that's negative on QBR. And they also count, they don't count yards after catch. So if you throw a nice little slant and the guy runs 80, they don't give you all the yards on that. And the QBR, Baker's was 19.9 yesterday. 50 is considered average. Baker Mayfield didn't play well yesterday. Baker Mayfield has a real running game. That defense is absolutely atrocious. Tampa Bay's defense is awful. Everybody in the league has lit that defense up. Everybody. There's only one quarterback that scored fewer points than Baker Mayfield against that defense, Nick Foles. That defense is awful. Yesterday, Sam Darnold played the Vikings. It's 11th, and it's good, and it's talented. So I don't want to sit here and compare them every week, but everybody on Twitter is telling me how good Baker's playing. They had 126 yards in three quarters. His QBR was 19. 50's bad. They have so many running backs, they could trade one. They've got a real star wide receiver. They got a better O-line than the Jets. I don't see him playing well. I just don't. I think he gets sacked too much. I think he sometimes struggles to see the ball downfield because of his size. And we can keep comparing him back and forth, but he's got double the starts of Darnold. He's got 5 years in college, not three. That's called a master's. I don't think he's playing well. By the way, Hugh Jackson came out and said, I'm going to take over the offense. What's that telling you? He's not happy. Hugh Jackson's like, we're getting four turnovers. This defense is nasty, and we're losing games, and we can't move the ball the first three quarters. So I disagree with Twitter. I don't think he's playing great.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
We do it every Monday throughout the course of the year at this time where Colin was right, where Colin was wrong.
Where Colin was right?
The best football picking year I've ever had. 6 of 7 weeks, the Blazing 5-1 again. I could have been 4-0 yesterday if not for a missed extra point. I said the Colts would be the lock of the year over the Bills. I picked the Panthers to upset Philadelphia in Philadelphia, and I guaranteed Washington would beat Dallas over 60%. It's just one of those years where the numbers are lining up, and yes, I've already checked out the numbers for this week, and I've already got my Blazing 5 pick.
Where Colin was wrong.
Cam Newton did all the things I never trust with Cam Newton. He was accurate. He drove the ball, not throwing off his back foot. He was better late in games. He was a leader. He made tough throws. I'll say this about Cam. I've had my criticisms, but now he has multiple touchdown passes in 5 straight games. He's never done that before, and a lot of it is Norv Turner. So what it shows me, despite all the fame and the looks and the money, he is coachable. He still throws the ball too reliant on his arm and not enough on technique, mechanics, and his legs. But he was fantastic in the fourth quarter. He was poised. He was in control of the football game. And it was the Cam I wish I got more of.
Where Colin was right.
Meanwhile, Andy Dalton shrinks like a cheap T-shirt every time the lights are on. He's now officially 0-for-6 on Sunday Night Football. He is 2-for-13 against the Steelers. And yesterday, against the worst defense in the league, he was awful. 15-29. Cincinnati got 10 points. I mean, come on. Come on. He's a C-plus quarterback. I've been battling this for years. Some guys rise to the moment, and some guys shrink. And I don't even need to tell you the guys that rise, but I do have to keep reminding you of the guys that shrink. It's not that he's 0-for-6 on Sunday Night Football. He often plays his worst games of the year in primetime. Yesterday, his passer rating was under 85. His completion percentage in 2018 was under 59.
Where Colin was wrong.
I predicted Brandon Ingram would assert himself very quickly as the number two guy in the Lakers behind LeBron. Well, he won't play for the next 4 games. He got into a fight and is suspended. He has not hit in two games a three-pointer. He has looked at times passive. In fact, right now, JaVale McGee is leading Brandon Ingram in points per game. And Josh Hart, by the way, is the young player that everybody in L.A. is talking about. And Josh Hart from Villanova's got a ceiling, but he plays his butt off, and he's really tough, and he doesn't back down from anybody. And Brandon Ingram was the guy I thought would assert himself game one. Two games in, doesn't look like I was hoping he'd look like.
Where Colin was right.
Oh, Jim Harbaugh can coach. Interesting. Sometimes the media, I don't even understand what they're saying. The media going into this year was comparing him to the guy he replaced, Brady Hoke. Brady Hoke, in his fourth year, was 5-7. Michigan now has firm control of the conference, just steamrolled Wisconsin and Michigan State, only Big Ten team without a loss, and in control coupled with Ohio State's loss. Their defense is the best in the conference. I don't think they're good enough to beat an Alabama or a Clemson or Oklahoma. I still have concerns about their offensive line. But do people in the media, do you just attach yourself and not, don't we have the time to do data and facts? He won in San Diego. He took an 0-12 team in Stanford and won. He took the 49ers in 1 year and took them from 6-10 to 13-3. And you think he's Brady Hoke. Okay, Michigan may never be Alabama. The dude can coach. We told you on Friday, he's going to win this game convincingly. And by the end of the weekend, he's going to have control of the Big Ten. And voila, he does.
Where Colin was wrong.
The Toronto Raptors beat the Celtics. They are 3-0 and they beat the Celtics. Listen, it's nothing against the Raptors, but they're sort of like the country they play in, Canada. They're nice. They're pleasant. They're likable. Not a lot of dog. Not a lot of alpha. But they beat the Celtics. They even won a game this weekend without Kawhi Leonard. The media has loved the Raptors for years. They give good quotes. They're smart. They're progressive. But in the end, you know, big arm wrestling contest in April. Do you really trust them? Not really. But they've looked good, and Kawhi Leonard is fit right in.
Where Colin was right.
Saxonville is officially Mediocreville. Come on, man. Blake Bortles got benched for Cody Kessler. I mean, there you go. And I've said, I doubled down on it last week. The way to solve a problem is admit first you've got a problem. Not a single Jaguar player in that locker room buys Blake Bortles. In fact, there was reportedly a fight in the Jacksonville locker room after the game. You can tell players things, but you can't fool players. Nobody buys Blake Bortles. That's why I said Jacksonville 10-6 will pull way back. I said they'll be 8-8. Andrew Luck's back. Deshaun Watson's back. And they'll go to their rightful number three spot in the AFC South.
Where Colin was wrong.
I love aggressive play calling. And I always say, be aggressive. Be like the Eagles. Aggressive, aggressive, aggressive. Like Doug Gottlieb said, I hated what Tennessee did. They're now 0-7 on two-point conversions. Listen, for the rest of you teams, keep going for it. For Tennessee, let's scale back. Mariota's not good on the two-point conversion thing. And as Doug pointed out, the Chargers were on the field and gassed. You just get the extra point, you go to overtime, you feel like you've outplayed that football team. If you feel you've outplayed a team, then go to overtime. If you feel you're lucky to be in the position you're in, then go for the win. Tennessee had played well. They played good enough to beat an excellent Charger team. You kick the extra point. That's one of those aggressive for aggressive sake. I didn't like it.
Where Colin was right.
Lakers are 29th in three-point shooting. 24% threes. Listen, some problems in basketball don't go away. Short teams can't get tall. And bad shooting teams don't become good shooting teams. LeBron's only hit one three-pointer. We can sit here every day and try to figure out this. Luke Walton has got one major problem, and it's not solvable. As we said before the year, they're going to be bottom five, bottom eight teams all year long in threes. And right now, they're shooting 24%. And by the way, that's against the Rockets, who are not a great defensive team. And Portland's backcourt, Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum, they don't play defense. These are not elite defensive teams they've played, even in their own building. They can't hit them.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
15 NFL seasons, two rings, Patriots, Steelers, and the Bengals. All-time leader for the Pittsburgh Steelers in sacks. Defensive Player of the Year back in 2008. James Harrison joining us in The Herd on a Monday today. All fired up. Great to see you, my man.
Good to be back.
So let me start with one thing. I know... You know, I've never bought into Baker as a number one pick. I think he's Case Keenum. And Case Keenum, if you give him the right people, can win games. But yesterday, against a lousy defense, the Browns gave Baker four turnovers. He's got some real pieces there. They have enough running backs in Cleveland. They traded one on the weekend. Mm-hmm. I don't see Baker as a number one pick. Unlike Twitter, I don't think he's playing great. What do you see?
I didn't see him as a number one pick either. I think they, you know, reached a little bit. I feel that he is the best quarterback on that team right now, and he's a rookie. You know, he's doing rookie things right now. So I think that's just part of the growing, pains that you're going to have with a rookie. I think they won a couple games with him, and all of a sudden, you know, they were, you know, thinking he was the next coming, and you know that's just not the case.
Hugh Jackson called out essentially Todd Haley. I said when Baker got drafted, the reason I would have taken Sam Darnold in a northern division against the Steelers, Browns, Bengals, he's a bigger, stronger kid. Mm-hmm. He's a 6'3", and he's all a 6'3". Big hair, big hand, big everything big. And also, he can deal with the dysfunction in Cleveland. He's a very kind of Phil Simms, low-key, can have a coach bark at him. I think Cleveland already looks dysfunctional. I think Haley and Hugh Jackson are already banging on.
Well, you got two real big personalities there. And
Do you know them both?
Yeah. Yeah, and right now, things aren't going exactly the way they want it to go. And, you know, they're feeling like the offense isn't doing exactly what they should have did, especially after, you know, the output they just put up in, Tampa there. So, you know, he's the head coach. He's feeling like this is my job. I have done this before, and, you know, that's what I do. And, you know, this is what I'm going to do if I need to do it. And, I mean, like you said, he's the head coach. I don't know if that's the right thing to do because now you're questioning your own judgment that you made in hiring, you know, Haley. I think the record before that was he won, one or two games before that as the coordinator. So, I mean, he's already doubled your output in just the last, six, seven games. So I would think you wouldn't go out there and call him out like that and be something behind closed doors like he said before. But, you know, that's something that he did.
When you watch the Rams, they're obviously flashy. The division right now is not great. Arizona's rebuilding. San Francisco lost Garoppolo. They're rebuilding. How good are the Seahawks? Do you buy the Rams?
Yeah. I buy the Rams because they are putting out. And when it comes down to it, the defense is playing well. I don't buy into the Kansas City thing. The offense is playing great, no question about it, but they're dead last in defense. At some point in time, your defense is going to have to put up or shut up, and they haven't put up yet this year.
It's funny, James, we forget a majority of games are played like November 10th on in this league.
Right.
And every year we fall for September, October. You've been in this league forever. Explain to the audience the difference between Thanksgiving football on and pre-Thanksgiving.
Well, it's a feeling. You know, you feel great at the beginning of the year, to be honest with you. It's when you get into them games after Thanksgiving. You got eight, nine games on you now, and it's the wear and tear of the season. What guys are going to actually take care of their bodies so that they're able to perform at the same level they did in September? What guys are still working out just as hard so they have that same strength that when it comes down to, you know, November, December ball, they can still perform? And a lot of guys, you know, even, you know, when I played, we'd play Cleveland, you know, beginning of the year, and then you'd play them at the end, and you would feel the difference of strength in the guys that you were playing against. You know, they were a lot weaker than they were at the beginning of the year.
Yeah, the Rams come at you from a lot of different angles. It's funny, for all the flash, they're kind of a power running team.
Yes.
It's a lot of Aaron Donald and Ndamukong Suh in the middle of the defense,
right.
And it's a lot of Todd Gurley.
I mean, those two guys right there, you need four guys to block them in any, you know, pass play that you're trying to do. When you leave them one-on-one, you're taking a chance.
Yeah. When you look at, you played briefly for the Patriots, but you know their culture.
Mm-hmm.
So yesterday they won by a yard. The week before they won by a play. What is the difference with them? Because whenever it gets close, October on, I just feel like they win these games.
They play in all phases. And that was, you know, indicative of like what you just saw, you know, yesterday. They special teams came in and basically blew things up. It was two touchdowns. You know, the offense, defense, special teams, they play well together. They you know, everything they do is the Patriot way. And they make sure they take care of every phase of the game. And that was, you know, an example of that.
By the way, Josh Gordon does appear, James, that there's an impact there.
Definitely. I mean, you got somebody that's a real deep threat, you know, for Tom to throw to.
Yeah. So, you know, I said, people can tell me things. I'm mostly into show me things. Mm-hmm. A lot of people talk. I work out hard. You actually did work out hard. The Cowboys keep telling me they love Dak. Jerry Jones tells me he loves him. Jason Garrett tells me he loves him. But I keep watching them in these two-minute drills, and they're playing for field goals. I mean, when I watch Dallas, they're not telling me they trust Dak. Isn't that what are you seeing that?
I see them playing, like you said, conservative. At the end of the day, it's your starting quarterback, and it's what you know, Jerry Jones believes to be his franchise quarterback. That's his feeling. So you're not going to go against that and say something opposite. But like you said, you're showing me that you don't believe that in the play calls that you're giving him, what you're allowing him to do.
Do you like Dak?
I like Dak as a person, but I think he's an average quarterback.
Why?
He's not the guy that's going to go out there and, you know, give you 300, you know, 50 yards if that's what he has to do to get the win. I don't feel like he's that quarterback.
You know, it's funny. Tim Tebow had a 6-game winning streak in this league. You have to be able to win. I had a coach tell me this once. He goes, this is why he didn't buy into Tebow. He said, you can win 6 straight games with field goals and great defense. You may have that. But over the course of 15 years, there are going to be years that 6 defensive players get hurt and your special teams mm-hmm. stink. If you can't win shootouts in this league, then you're not a franchise quarterback. Dak's not he's not a shootout quarterback.
Oh, no.
He has to play a specific way.
Right.
And the game has to be close.
It has to be close, yeah. You can't put him back there in gun and expect him to sling it 40, 50 times and come away with a win.
And that's why I think sometimes fans get fooled. Like Tebow goes on a winning streak or, you know, Alex Smith goes on a winning streak. If the world's right and it's aligned on its axis mm-hmm. and your defense is playing their butts off, yes, Alex Smith can reel off 9 out of 10 wins. But Dak plays one way, and if it doesn't go that way, it's not a win. Okay, so Philadelphia is obviously a good team. I still mm-hmm. think they'll win their division. They got a good GM, a good coach, good quarterback. By the way, Michael Bennett was great yesterday. They got plenty of good players.
Yes.
But it is different hunting to being hunted.
Right.
And they don't, James, quite look like last year.
Well, they're not the same as last year. Like you said, you know, it's the difference between being the underdog. You got something that you're trying to get, you know, you're getting off your check. You're trying to prove someone wrong. Now you're the measuring stick. You're the team that everybody is going to measure themselves against, because the team that went 0-16, if they're playing you right now, they want to beat you, because he can say to his team, you guys went out there and beat the defending Super Bowl champions. You yourself could beat Super Bowl champions. You have it in you. You just showed me that when you beat this team. So right now, what they're getting is everybody's best shot. And they don't understand that the work that it took to get there. Like, they started in probably January, February, before they won the Super Bowl, getting ready for the year that they did win the Super Bowl. After this year was over with, they probably didn't get started till OTAs. You know, guys are celebrating. You got, you know, so many engagements that everybody wants to see the Super Bowl champion at. You know, you're here, you're there. And even after that's done, you know, something slipped in there around July, you know, 4th for some type of celebration to, you know, have a you know, one of the Super Bowl champions there. So you guys didn't. Oh, yes, definitely. We had the same thing in 2005 and 2008. Those 2 years, we didn't even make the playoffs after that. Now, the year that we went in 2010 and lost to Green Bay, we made the playoffs that next year. Why? Because we lost. We had something to prove. But when you go and you win that, you celebrate. And, you know, a lot of guys celebrated too long.
Yeah. Well, I mean, listen, when you win a Super Bowl in Philadelphia, every car dealership, every car.
Exactly.
Every car.
Oh, I'm telling you, everybody wants you here. They want you there. And I'm not going to lie. My first Super Bowl, I was a special teams player. I literally made more money in that offseason than I did all year. Because everybody wanted to have you there, you know what I'm saying? Because you were the Super Bowl champions. And like I said, you're getting everybody's best shot that next year. And you got to realize that.
Good seeing you, bud.
You too.